We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Let's talk some Chiefs for the next half hour, as we do each and every day here on Cody and Gold at 11:30. We'll get into the rookie running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, here in about 8 minutes. In particular, how much action is he going to see on the field when it comes to touches and what some numbers tell us about where that could go?
Do you ever like hear the way we say sports things and realize how easily they could be taken out of context?
How much action he's going to see and how many touches he's going to get? Yeah.
Like, out of context, if somebody didn't follow sports at all, they'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give you on that one. About a half a second after I said action, I was like,
there's nothing wrong with your sentence as a whole.
Well, thank you.
But just like completely out of context, how much action he's going to see and how many touches he's going to get.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
Could be taken out of context a little. That's all.
Yeah. If he's eight. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to continue. We could have spent another 5 minutes just going back and forth about that deal with sports. But yeah, they're out of context sports, right? Isn't there videos that do that? Like, isn't there like a funny video series, out of context sports?
I don't know, but
it should be a name of a podcast if it's not already. There you go. I'm sure it already exists.
There's been plenty of times on this show already.
Oh, no question.
That have existed somewhere along the way.
So we will talk about Clyde and the running back and what he could do this season coming up in just a little bit. But we start off the Chiefs Red Half Hour with the defense. In particular, what one NFL expert, James Palmer in particular, over at NFL Network, had to say about the defense. Are we doing enough talking up about them?
What you guys don't realize is a big part of the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and in my opinion, have the best chance to win the Super Bowl this season, is the defense. And it's a completely different unit than we saw 2 years ago. And last year, and I don't know why this isn't talked about enough, was their first year under Steve Spagnuolo. And as I talked to him as the year went on and I was virtually living in Kansas City with my second family, they were operating completely differently in the second half of the year and doing things they couldn't even do in the first half of the year. They were doing things post-snap that they didn't even attempt at the beginning of the year. And look at how they finished. I think you also add in Willie Gay Jr., the rookie second-round pick, to be that linebacker that can go sideline to sideline that they have lacked for a long time. This defense is something we should be talking about, and because of Patrick Mahomes, nobody is.
Okay, so nobody talking about him is maybe on a national level. Maybe that's part of it. And because on a national level, what's sexy to talk about? I didn't mean to do that. I apologize.
After we just had this talk,
what is more sexy to talk about? The offense and Patrick Mahomes and what Andy Reid can come up with, or the defense? So I think on a national level, that's why that's happening. But on a local level, I mean, I've been very optimistic about what this defense's ceiling is for this upcoming year. So I don't know what there needs to be. Yeah, the offense is always going to be talked about more than the defense is. But I agree with his points within it that we have discussed as well, which is second half of the season, they were one of the better defensive units at times in football. Certainly had a couple of players playing as good as anybody, right? Tyrann Mathieu was playing as good as any defensive player in football in the back end of the season. If they do that the first 6 or 8 games this year, they play like they did toward the back end, and in particular, Matthew's playing at that level. Willie Gay Jr., the rookie, comes in and proves very early on that he's a guy. That's how you get people talking about you. I think it will be if Willie Gay Jr., because he's a new name and he's a rookie, if he were to come in and have an impact fairly early on, that's how you, on a national level, you get the defense being talked about more. But overall, I've never sat back and thought, man, nobody's talking about this defense. Maybe that's just here in this local bubble. On a national level, I never expect them to talk. You don't talk about a defense nationally when you've got Patrick Mahomes on the other side. You just don't.
No, But, you know, Lamar Jackson was stunningly good, and people still, he was the MVP last year, and people still mentioned the Ravens defense. Palmer, when further dug into this, part of his argument for why he thinks they should be talked about more is what you said, right? That, and the fact that when you look at what they did, Spagnuolo had continued to tell him and others that there were just things they simply weren't attempting, right? Just things they simply weren't attempting in the early part of the season defensively, and they were. But the thing I would tell you, the one thing that I don't think we talk enough about is health. And I know Frank Clark was hurt. And I'm not going to say that that wasn't, because the timing is awfully coincidental, if not that. Their defense got better when he seemingly got healthy. But also, he was like the only major player. Like, the offense was still top five in the NFL. They had games without Tyreek Hill, games without Sammy Watkins, games without Patrick Mahomes, games without Damian Williams, games without Eric Fisher. They were missing important players on the offense consistently, in my opinion, and still did it. Defensively, were they missing one? So I'm banging this whole thing on they just didn't know the system until halfway through the season. And offensively,
I mean, more than one, but yeah, I mean, they had, I mean, the one you're mentioning is the last week of the season, I'm assuming, in Juan Thornhill. But then earlier in the season, there were a couple linemen that were having decent starts to the season before being banged up.
You could mention Ogba. Sure. You want to mention guys like Emmanuel Ogba.
Ended up joining up midseason because of some of those injuries.
And that's not ridiculous to mention those guys. But also, that was the deepest part of their entire thing. Don't we still feel like they are... like, that's the scariest part about their defense, is that it still feels very boom or bust. Like, they might end up being very average, but, you know, I don't know that I can talk myself into that upper echelon all the time. And, yeah, I feel like I spend a lot. I feel like how they make their money, how they're going to win Super Bowls,
well, sure,
is still through their offense. I know, but Palmer said that the reason why he thinks they're the favorite to repeat is because of that defense. And I'm just more like, no, they'll just outscore some people.
One of the hardest things to predict in football is defense year over year.
Because it just turns over so often.
Yes, and the Chiefs have already seen turnover on that defense. I understand some of those guys were injured last season, but Spags hasn't exactly been a consistent coach over the years either. He's had some very up and down defenses. I think their defense is still talented, and I think that they'll still be just as serviceable as they were last year to help them get to a Super Bowl. But it's not like the defense is all of a sudden going to be like a top 10 unit that's, you know, that's right up there as an anchor for their top three offense.
I mean, I think their ceiling is, I mean, I've told you guys where I think their ceiling is, and if everything goes right for them, absolutely, I think they could be a top 10 defense if things went right for them. I've said as high as even a top five if things went amazingly for them, and like everything, and Willie Gay turned out to be a stud right away, and, you know, Breland's only missing one game, and Antonio Hamilton. I'm talking most optimistic view possible when I say that, but I think, like, I don't think it's crazy to suggest if Willie Gay is, even by the time we get to halfway through the season, has an impact on this defense, if they can't end up as a top 10, 11 defense in a realistic scenario as well, you know, that I could see actually happening. But overall, on a national level, what the discussion point and stuff is going to be, it's always going to be about Mahomes in the office. And you brought up the Ravens, and that's a good point. The defense got talked about there.
But, yeah, and that was MVP.
The reason why I think is if Lamar Jackson is doing the same thing this year, I think you'll see more of what we've seen on a national level, which is it'll be more of an offensive discussion about Baltimore as well, unless the defense is on historical levels than the defense. Well, I just think so much of it was still the first year of Lamar Jackson coming onto the scene. Like, assuming he's now coming off an MVP season, is he going to continue to progress from there? Does that bring some more eyeballs to it, especially if they go and bring in Antonio Brown? If he ends up there, how does that change the way people view the Ravens offense? But yeah, I don't view the defense being, I don't want to say not underrated, but just not talked about as enough, not respected on a national level. No, I think it's fine.
Than
how
seven
many weeks?
Games.
How many weeks? How many weeks into the season? Like, where would I convince you if we're week six and they're playing like they were on the back end of the season? Will you at that point? Are you good, or do you need to see more still from there?
No, I'd feel pretty good. Schedule would help.
Yeah, because they would have Baltimore played. Patriots now are a lot more interesting of an opponent.
Schedule would help me feel that way. The Texans aren't a complete...
Yeah, three playoff teams right there.
From last year alone, and some of the better offenses from last year. I mean, I wouldn't take, you know, playing well against the Chargers all that seriously, I guess. Or the Raiders. But I think by week six, I would entertain that they've... accomplish something, mostly because I would have seen it for more than the second half. Because, like, Serta, defenses can get hot for short stretches. They can be good for 1 year. They fall off so quick. We could have that conversation about Baltimore, too, if you want. Like, why Baltimore is not going to be a 14-2 team is because even though on paper their defense looks just as good, it never works out
well,
that
they
way.
Were healthy,
they
seemingly
they
were
so quick.
They were so healthy last year. Unfortunately, if you're usually it comes back. It comes back to the mean a little bit there when it comes to injuries. Like, the Ravens are going to have more injuries than they had last year. It seems like that's a foregone conclusion.
So. Yeah, but the argument I would make against that is that their defense is better and their defense is deeper than it was last year, and it was already deep last season. Yeah, so they can suffer. They can suffer injury.
They're playing a first place schedule too. Though. I mean, there's a lot of factors.
I mean, the Chiefs, if Tyrann Mathieu gets hurt for any period of time next season, the Chiefs' defense is completely screwed.
They would be in some trouble, no question.
Are one injury away at a few positions, because if it's Ward, Mathieu...
Yeah, those guys too, sure. But like, yes, if Charvarius Ward or Rashad Fenton, who we think is going to have a key role this season, their cornerbacks, they're very thin there. But Tyrann Mathieu, who does everything, who was the catalyst for the defense being good at all last season, something happens to him, your defense is done for. You can't say the same thing about the Baltimore Ravens defense if they lose Marcus Peters.
And that's why Juan Thornhill, you know, signs at this point have been positive that he's going to be good to go week one. But that certainly is going to play a huge role into what this defense can be as after he had that torn ACL week 17 against the LA Chargers. We continue in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about that offense now, though. We know they go out and they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and so how active is he going to be in this offense from the very beginning in terms of touches? So Heath Cummings put out some scenarios in particular, and he said Chiefs running backs last year averaged 26.7 touches per game. So how many touches do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire averaged in 2020? Let me just tell you what the poll he put up, and just whether it was Chiefs fans or just NFL fans in general. So 44.8% said he will have between 15 and 17 touches on average a game this upcoming season. The next closest, fewer than 15, 29.7, more than 17, 20.2, and that's the three options that he gave there. If you were curious, though, like Damian, he gave you the average overall for all running backs, 27.2 touches or whatever it was, 26.7 touches. Well, Damian Williams, he only played in 11 games.
Sure.
Damian Williams was right around 10 rushes per game and about 2 receptions per game. So 12 touches or so on average is what Damian Williams across the 11 games that he did play, and he didn't play in all 16. We know that.
And he wasn't healthy in all 11 of those.
So that, you know, so that
which is a whole nother part of that.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. You know, then you had LeSean McCoy, who ended up actually played in more games than Damian Williams did last year, even despite being benched really at the back end. Isn't that crazy?
Wild,
yeah, he played in 13 compared to 11. He started more games than Damian Williams did last year.
They made the right call, by the way, guy to go forward with.
Correct.
Hey, at the time, that was a real question.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just a smokescreen, remember they were talking about load management with him. That was all a lie, clearly, but they were talking about load management with LeSean McCoy. It wasn't a dead set guarantee that Damian Williams was better than LeSean McCoy at that stage. I thought he was, but it wasn't dead set.
Yeah, so what does it look like for Clyde, though? This offseason has to factor in at least a little bit of what you think that average is going to be. You know, if there's no preseason games or if there's just one or two, we don't have the normal offseason. Yeah, a running back position in an Andy Reid offense isn't the most complicated position to try to pick up. But still, you haven't gone through a normal offseason. Normally, we look at rookies anyway, and there's an adjustment period. It's not the same as trying to learn routes for a wide receiver, but there's an adjustment period for running backs. So if, let's say, it takes 3 or 4 weeks for Clyde to get going and they don't give him the average of touches per game that backs are, we know that 26.7 is going to be split, if not two ways, three ways, at least, early on in the season. So I would say the average will come down because of the beginning of the season. I would probably go fewer than 15 on average. Doesn't mean later in the season that Clyde's not averaging 15 or more touches when you get into it. But the first 4 months or so of the season, I could see his touches being fewer than 15. I mentioned Damian Williams was right around 12 in the 11 games he played. So I think you would go fewer than 15 if I were to vote on that and guess how many touches per game Clyde's going to get. He'll get more in the passing game than Damian Williams did, which was just an average of 2 touches. We expect Clyde to average. I would say if you're at, like, what's that balance within the fewer than 15, I would expect there to be a much more toward the passing game than we saw with Damian Williams in terms of the touches that Clyde's going to get.
I kind of lean where the majority of people do, that it falls in the 15. And I think it's going to start slow. I'm not even going to disagree with you there. I think it'll start below that number. But when it's all combined, he is a three-down back. And they weren't treating Damian Williams like that until the very end. At no point were they seeing Spencer Ware, like, you know, like, it's just not the same. He was a really good runner at LSU, too. I think he gets 8, 9, 10 carries a game, and then, or, you know, 12, 13 carries a game, even in some games later in the season, and then sees 5 catches comes his way. I think it'll average out. I think in the first half of the season, it's going to be like 11 or 12. And then the second half of the season, it's going to be 18 or 19, and he's going to fall in that 15 range. And then those other 10 are going to be spread out between mostly Damian Williams, because that's a majority of how they did it last year. Because the next highest attempted rusher was Darrell Williams, and that was in desperation time at 41. Darwin Thompson at 37, Spencer Ware at 17, and then Tyreek Hill at 8. I don't think those three guys behind Patrick Mahomes, by the way, was actually third on the team in attempts, but I don't think those three guys below who stole 90 carries from him and what, another 25 catches are going to take those from Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams, which means those 26, I think, are going to be split between a tighter group. I just think it's more. I think by the time it works out, he's just going to be used more than that. You know, Mitch Holthus was on this morning with Josh Klinger for Fesco in the Morning, and they were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and, you know, pretty easy question, right? Do you think he's the rookie with the most pressure on him? It turns out Mitch had a different answer.
To me, it's Tommy Townsend, the punter.
Sure, yes.
If he wins the job, I mean, yeah. It's an open job. He doesn't have it won yet, because he's going to be that Tyler Newsom as the punter slash holder. I think more than even Willie Gay Jr. or CEH, I think Tommy Townsend will face more pressure than those two. Just because, you know, Colquitt performed at such a high level and it's a precise level as a punter and a holder, that now that's the standard that Tommy Townsend's going to be compared to. And I think he'll be under a lot of pressure from the get-go, because the Chiefs are expecting him, because in these games you mentioned, this front-loaded schedule, it comes down many times to a punt that you can pin a team back at the 7, or you prevent the return and you flip the field. The little things that add up in beating a Baltimore or a New England or a Houston. And it's one of those, it's the old song, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Well, in the case of Dustin Colquitt, 15 years of just being super reliable for the most part. Now Townsend's got to live up to that pressure.
Look, like what the hell is Mitch talking about? Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He's talking about a punter, sort of.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire may not have a ton of pressure because they've got Mahomes and you've got Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, but he was their top pick. And we just got done talking about the touches that Clyde might have, which was what? On average, we're thinking at minimum 12 per game, maybe, for Clyde. He's gonna have the ball more. By nature, there's going to be some more pressure because he's going to have the opportunity more. How many times are they punting the football?
How many times is punting a pressure-packed event?
All they need him to do as a punter is just not let it get blocked. just get the pun off. That's all they have to do. I'm sorry, Mitch. I love you. I feel like you were just trying to come up with a different name.
Tommy Townsend, hopefully he's great. But if he's not, they would just move on from him 5 weeks into the season. Would they? You know what I mean? Like, if the few opportunities he's going to have to punt, they would just move on from him if they didn't like it.
Is there a lot of pressure in following a legacy punter?
No, it's not even like being a kicker. Like, kickers are under far more pressure.
If you ranked the entire 53-man roster, where on the order of importance would you put punter for the Kansas City
Last.
Chiefs?
Right after long snapper, actually. The long snapper's got more pressure.
All he has to do to be successful is get it away. Just don't get it blocked.
It's not punter. Like, we're talking pressure for rookies. It's either Willie Gay or Clyde Edwards-Helaire or one of the defensive backs that gets thrown to the fire early. End of list. It's not Tommy.
Now, he hasn't
even won the job yet.
Right.
Isn't he in a punting battle?
I can't wait for that battle. It's going to be really intense.
I mean,
camp.
We don't have that many camp battles.
Oh, it's the heated one, and it's gonna be so intense. The hang time.
By the way, Colquitt, I just looked it up for fun, averaged the 22nd highest average punt distance last year. That's probably not the only way to judge punters, but I'm not familiar with the other ways. Are you? I don't know the other ways to judge punters.
Mitch does have another stat that he's... That
corner kicks inside the 10, inside the 20, inside the 5, right?
Yeah, he believes that they need to add that because that speaks high. It would show Colquitt
inside the 20. Where are you, Colquitt?
Colquitt used to be really good at that. I mean, I don't know.
He did not rank in this list of inside the 20 guys. This is 2019.
Yeah, but it's probably because he never had to punt.
Yeah, I know. Totally. That's another reason why punter doesn't matter.
It's not even about Colquitt. It's just the punter position in general. It's hard to imagine like that's the most pressure.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pick on Colquitt. Yeah. Colquitt ranked like, I don't know, 30th in punts inside the 20 or something. He's fine. Yeah, he was tied with Andy Lee. I don't know who any of these guys are. They're punters. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's an unimportant position.
I know who I way too Justin many Colquitt. Kickers are on the NFL are. I don't know who any of the punters are.
Can you name one other punter who's currently active in the NFL?
Braden Colquitt.
Okay, besides the other Colquitt. Yeah. God, that did feel like the lamp. Give me a different punter besides a Colquitt.
No, Marquette King's Shane, not in the NFL.
No,
Shane Leckler, is he still around?
There's no.
With the Raiders, Shane Leckler. What about Andy Lee, as you brought up?
Hey, I said he's
the Cardinals punter, and I'm out. That's my punter names. I'm out. Colquitt, Leckler, Andy Lee. I don't think I have another one for you.
If you're curious, Brett Kern led on kicks inside the 20 last year. He kicked for the Titans.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
He's a real game changer.
But here's like
catalyst even, that got them to the postseason.
Yeah, yes. Giving that number
everybody thinks
Colquitt
it was Derrick Henry.
Is completely disingenuous because Colquitt only had to punt 48 times last year. For instance, the Jets punter had to punt 87. He had to punt double the amount of times as Colquitt. I think that Townsend's going to be all right.
Last minute.
Oh man, we got all the way to last minute on punter talk.
Oof.
I got very distracted. I am sorry.
That's what that Chiefs Red Half Hour is all about. Just punters.
Nothing but punter talk. Ooh.
In nearly 6 months since becoming the new head coach of Washington, Ron Rivera hadn't been asked about the team's controversial name, but on Monday he was during a Monday afternoon interview on 670 The Score's McNeil and Parkins. Rivera faced the subject and just said, "I think that's a discussion for another time," adding that the team was always part of football when he was growing up. If now's not a time for that discussion, Ron, I don't know when you're ever going to be ready to address it.
He's saying that this isn't the time to do it. You can have a stance if you want, like, if he wanted, you know, he's the new head coach and he's like, that's something that ownership's got to decide or whatever. I wouldn't have been as critical there, but to say now's not the time, this is as good as ever. I mean, that's a ridiculous stance on it. You may not believe it needs to be removed, but to say that now's not the time for that to be discussed, have you not been paying attention with what's been going on the last 2 months? Month and a half?
Feels like now's exactly the time to mention.
Everything feels like 2 months, by the way. I think it's only been a month, but still. All the days run together.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that has to be... What's his... This is just like everything else. What's your boss say? What's your boss saying right now? Is he want you saying it's the time to change it?
Yeah. Who's writing the check? Who signed the check?
Who just brought you in? It is hard for him to be like the voice of that. But
it's not like Ron Rivera is going to get fired before the season starts.
No, that's true. They did just pay him a bunch of money to bring him there. He's pretty much blank checking right now.
He could have put a ton of pressure on the organization for sure.
He could voice his opinion if he believed in it. And I think that his job would be safe at least for this season.
Yeah, I would think so. I feel like maybe ownership should see maybe the problem here. And
I think
move
the only
on there,
at this point it's been so long. The only way I see it being changed, the nickname, I think it takes other NFL owners or the league itself kind of forcing on that to happen.
It's going to take that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.